Hello, hello, campers.
Hello.
I hope you're all having a great holiday season. It is getting closer and closer to Christmas, and I hope that you are all as ready as you could be, or at least working on it. I'm your host, Dylan, and I'd like to welcome you back to another holiday-themed episode of Campfire Adventures. So shout out to the listeners out there in podcast land for coming back for another episode of this podcast. And if this is your first time listening to an episode, I hope you enjoy listening to it. As for our live audience, I have Patrice here for this episode, but we also have another very special guest who you might have heard a little earlier. She used to be an intern back in the day when we first started this, and now she is our honored guest. Anyway, everybody, welcome to the show, Skitty, also known as Mom. Also known as the Christmas Kitty.
Oh, yeah.
Or more commonly known as our cat. Her name is Skitty, and she goes by all those other names, but she was the perfect guest to have for this week's episode. So let's see if we can keep her here for the whole story. And with all that said, I think it's time for us to grab our drinks. We're chilling in my room because I got a little cold. So that's why my voice sounds like this. But we're chilling in my room, hanging around the portable campfire, and it's time for us to get into this week's episode. As you know, this whole month we're doing Christmas-themed podcast episodes. So last week we told the tale of Belschnickel, who's Santa's friend that goes around weeding out.
Weed out.
That's why he's laughing. And he knows how to weed out the bad ones, all those ne'er-do-wells. He goes around and gets them all out of there right before the calendar strikes December 25th. And the year before this, we told the tale of Krampus, who is the dude that followed Saint Nick around, and he dealt with all the naughty kids while Saint Nick was out giving gifts. So
I don't know if we talked about this last year, but there is some village out in Scandinavia, I believe, where they do annual Krampus like parade.
I don't think that we talked about that particularly, but we did talk about there being Krampus parades and stuff like that, festivals, and we wanted to go to them.
I just recently saw like pictures of one. I was like, oh my, these people really do it up, dude.
And all into like, it. Well, that's so why I want to cool. Do like a year, I don't know if we can, but like going to the monster parades and festivals that we talked about for cryptids like Mothman and Bigfoot and all these other different creatures that we can go to those festivals and then report back. But we'll do that anyway. So good input, Patrice. I was just thinking, and I'm not sure if anybody else here was thinking, like, for all the Christmas stories and, like, folklore that we have that are about happy holiday legends, there are just as many wicked, menacing cryptids to combat that. And for this podcast, that's good news.
Yes.
And for this week, I'd like to tell you all the story of the Yule Cat. Have any of you out there heard the tales of this cat? Skitty, maybe you have?
No, she's the Christmas kitty.
She may be the Christmas kitty. But did you know that all these cats, they all meow about at these cat conventions and they just talk about everything feline? It's okay. Your secrets are safe with you. Meow's the word. Instead of mum's the word.
Yeah, we got it.
Anyway, she's suspiciously quiet, if I could say the least. But that's okay. We have everything that we need to know anyway. So back in the 1600s, in Iceland, during the December months, a legend was born about a grayish, blackish-furred creature that would only come out to hunt on Christmas Eve. Now, what's its prey, you ask? Well, there's no other way to say this than besides children.
Good. They've had it coming for some time, if you ask me.
Okay, I get it. Why is it always children? Now I'm not sure.
Like, because they can't fight back.
Well, what about the parents? Like, the parents are just so, like...
The parents are probably in on it.
Well, that's kind of what I said. You know, like, I'm not particularly sure why, but this cryptid has only been linked to living and hunting in Iceland. So since the 1600s, this story has been told to the children of Iceland. And generations pass, and the story, I'm assuming that we can assume, are of parents who survived a run-in or, like, living through life with this Yule cat out there. So then they pass down the survival techniques to their children, right? Mm. And so on and so forth, right? Because if you survived and you're telling your children, then all they have to do is kind of listen to you, and then they could survive, right?
Yeah, but when do kids ever listen?
So how does a child protect themselves from a giant Christmas cat creature? How do you protect yourself? Well, in my experience with my very own Christmas kitty, if I've gained any knowledge, it would be to run and hide under your blankets as fast as possible. Because once she's on the hunt, there's no stopping her until you hide under your blankets. Now, this doesn't mean that you've protected yourself. Fool, you've only trapped yourself. But you have a little bit of a barrier, so when she's clawing in there to get you, there's something. Now, I'm not sure if that's actually going to work because, again, our Christmas kitty's a house cat, and the Yule cat is a giant cryptid-like creature that's out to eat children. So I'm not sure if running under the impenetrable force field will work, but worth a try if you have nothing else. But I will tell you how you can protect yourselves from it. Well, let me set the scene for you real quick. Picture it. December 24th, in Iceland, a country is ready for bed, patiently waiting for Christmas Day to come and for presents to be unwrapped. While in this slumber, a predator is awakened and set out to hunt for their prey. It's the Yule Cat, and she, I'm going to say she just because our Christmas kitty is a she. So I figured that's what I'm envisioning right now. Grayish, blackish, feline, out on the prowl. That's the Christmas kitty. Anyway, so she makes her way out of the forest and into the towns and walks house to house looking into the windows to see what kind of presents have been left behind for children. Now, if she sees that you've been given clothes, whether it's socks, shoes, sweaters, maybe even some clothes that were from your older sibling, but now they just so happen to fit you. I mean, if clothes aren't worse enough to get for Christmas and then you get hand-me-downs, it's just like, damn. But if she sees that you got clothes, then that sight is enough for her to keep moving because the dreaded Yule Cat is at bay now. I don't know why, but if you're given clothes, she's like, huh, that's not prey.
Actually, I think I can tell you exactly why she doesn't pick on kids that get clothes.
Go ahead, Patrice, lay down some knowledge on us.
I think it's because you're already having a bad enough Christmas. Clothes? Who the hell wants clothes for Christmas? They're like, you know what? This guy had it pretty rough this year. I'm going to let it slide.
I'm picking up what you're throwing down. Okay, but for some reason, seeing that a child has been given clothes in the legend sense, it's a sign that they were good all year, that they helped around their house, did good in school, and they're on the up and up. Not a bad person, right?
Yeah.
So now, if she doesn't see that there are clothes as a present for a child, then she assumes that you spent the year being lazy, not doing good things, and not being a good kid. So she breaks into your home while you're sleeping, and with glee in her eyes, she creeps into your room. And then you know what she does then, right? She gets you!
I was gonna say, poops in the sugar bowl.
Insert SpongeBob screaming from freaking the Hatchling Slasher.
Oh, that's funny, yeah. Totally.
No, also, I'm really sorry if you guys can understand me. I'm trying so hard to speak as clearly as I can. I don't know what happened, y'all. The Christmas spirit got me. I don't know, but it's going to come back. So we're just going to work with what we got. But really, that is all it takes. Now, the Yule Cat is mythical, so she's able to shift her size from big to small, just enough to get around to where she needs to be, and also so she can eat any sized kid she needs to eat. It's as simple as just doing your chores and being good all year. You know how we hated getting clothes for Christmas? Well, in this case, it could save your life. So, spoiler alert, Patrice, You're getting socks this year.
You know what?
You're welcome.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. I can use some new socks.
Okay, maybe not Patrice. Anyway, another thought that I had while doing this whole story is that what about the children who don't have people to give them clothes for being good? Or what about families who just can't afford clothes? Well, one thing that I was thinking was that they tell the story as a way to get people to want to donate a little bit more. Maybe just like, it still counts if you're giving clothes or hand-me-downs or any type of thing. Or maybe even if you know how to make clothes, you can knit yourself like a sweater and, I don't know, put it under a tree and be like, look, I got something. I got some clothes. So I think that the Yule Cat was created so long ago for people to, I feel like everything's just a boogeyman at some point, right?
Like, pretty much, yeah.
Parents tell it to kids so that way they try a little bit better to be better, do a little bit more. I don't know. They just do a little bit extra stuff because I think that there's something that's going to come smite them.
If you rub grandma's bunions, then the hamster kitty of New Year's Eve won't get you.
I don't know if I believe that one. But the Yule Cat, a giant cat who will come and eat you, I mean, I might buy it, especially back in the 1600s. I could see why they'd sell that story. But yeah, so I don't know. I think that they created this cat as a way to get kids to be a little bit better, to do their chores, but also for people to get back because, I mean, it's Christmas time. Who wants some kid to get eaten just because they can't afford socks? I mean, terrible. That'd be terrible. And to wrap up this story, I know last week I was able to find a short story about Belsnickel. So this week I was able to find a poem that was written all about the Yule Cat. So get comfortable and let me share it with you. Okay, time for the poem. All right, y'all. I've actually been holding out on you. There's another way to say Yule Cat. In Iceland, it's actually pronounced its own way. And it's, I don't want to mess it up, but I'm going to do it just so we could do it once. So the title of this poem is Jólas Vinarnir. And it was written in 1932 by a poet named Johannes Kortlum. And it goes a little something like this. You all know the Yule Cat. And the cat was huge indeed. People didn't know where he came from or where he went. He opened his glaring eyes wide, the two of them glowing bright. It took a really brave man to look straight into them, his whiskers sharp as bristles, his back arched up high, the claws of his hairy paws were a terrible sight. He gave a wave of his strong tail, he jumped and he clawed and he hissed. Sometimes up in the valley, sometimes down by the shore. He roamed at large, hungry, and evil. In the freezing Yule snow, in every home, people shuddered at his name. If one heard a pitiful meow, something evil would happen soon. Everybody knew he hunted men, but didn't care for mice. He picked on the very poor that no new garments got, for Yule, who toiled and lived in dire need. From them he took, in one fell swoop, their whole Yule dinner, always eating it himself, if he possibly could. Hence, it was the women at their spinning wheels sat, spinning a colorful thread for a frock or a little sock. Because you mustn't let the cat get a hold of the little children, they had to get something new to wear from the grown-ups each year. And when the lights came on Yule Eve, and the cat peered in, the little children stood rosy and proud, all dressed up in their new clothes. Some had gotten an apron, and some had gotten shoes, or something that was needed. That was all it took. For all who got something new to wear, stayed out of that pussycat's grasp. He then gave an awful hiss, but went on his way. Whether he still exists, I do not know, but his visit would be in vain if next time everybody got something new to wear. Now you might be thinking of helping where help is needed most. Perhaps you'll find some children that have nothing at all. Perhaps searching for those that live in a lightless world will give you a happy day and a merry, merry Yule. That's the poem. And actually, there's a couple of other things I forgot when I was telling the story. One of the things was that she does look in every single window, the Yule Cat, right? Mm-hmm. And she makes herself big to look in like two-story, three-story homes. makes herself small to get into the houses. And one thing that she does is she'll eat the kids' dinner as like a message, as like, you're next, playa. And then she goes and eats them.
Maybe that's why mom always tries to eat our dinner.
Maybe. Did you like that story, Mom? I think she's saving this for the next cat conference.
She's like, guess what they're saying about us now.
Well, everybody, that's our story for this week. It's about the Yule Cat. What'd you think, Patrice?
I think it's pretty cool. It's funny that you said that it shrinks and expands its size, because I was going to ask how big they thought it actually was.
They didn't actually have a size, like with a lot of the stories that we're going to tell for this Christmas thing.
It's all very vague.
Vague and legend and, like, folklore, like, passed on from generations to generation. So they just said that, like, the size can adjust based off of the need, and also mainly because the different sizes in children. And then that's when it's like, okay, I could be really big for this one. Or, like, I'll just take my time. So that is a legend of the Yule Cat. And I hope that you enjoyed it. And that poem was actually pretty famous and, like, really popular. It was translated into English, so it might sound a little different if I ever try to say it.
Writes poetry in English well. For being an ancient Icelandic person.
Poet? I mean, yeah, 1932 is a long ways away. But anyway, well, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're all having a great holiday season. Get your shopping done. Don't forget to buy me something. And I hope that you enjoyed listening to it. So thanks for listening. I'm going to post some pictures on Instagram and Facebook at Campfire Adventures Podcast. You'll see all of our source material and tons of the pictures of where they live in Iceland and what the Yule Cat looks like on our website at www.campfireadventurespodcast.com. And with all that said, we are chilling in my room because I am lightly sick. But we will go on our outdoor adventures pretty soon, so don't worry. And I hope whether you listen to this in the morning or the evening, you have a good morning or good evening. Bye.
Send us socks.